seated. I tell you what, I tell you the guy you need to blame for me being down in the country sitting right over there, Wayne Ryder. He's the first guy I ever come preach for down here years and years and years ago. That'd been about 75 years ago, wasn't it, Wayne? But anyway, no kidding about it. I got six boxes of 500 shells in a box. They're 556-223 Lake City Brass. If you want to get armed up for the coming Civil War, they're cheap too. I got them outside. And if you got neighbor diesel, but I'm gonna tell you something now. These liberals, if you think I'm kidding, these liberals are going to whoop you and drive you in the ground. They're going to drive us to a fight. You watch what I tell you. They're going to drive us to, I hate to see it. I'm honest with you. I'm not trying to press it, but we're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
And we, our forefathers, I'm telling you something, they fought for our freedom. We're going to have to fight for our freedom because they don't tend to back down. They don't, whether it's election or nothing, they intend to ruin this country. Well, we got to do something outside. Get on a rabbit trail. Amen. Acts chapter 28. How many's there yet? Wait on me. Wait on me. I ain't kidding you. Boy, I'm so happy to be here. I can't hardly stand it. Boy, I'm just thrilled to be here. I love Arkansas. I'm from southern Missouri. I'm about 35 north of the line, but I love Arkansas. One of the last great places on the face of the earth. Amen. I'll tell you what, you guys, build a fence around this place. Amen. You know, I'm telling you what, boy, it's a mess out there. I've got to go to Canada to preach here. And my people there, I pastored a church here for 37 years. And I went to Canada to preach revival last year. And they said, Reggie, we prayed you ain't never going to get out of the country. They'll arrest you up there. Because you ain't supposed to preach on sodomites and fags up there, see? I said, I'm preaching on it. They can arrest me if they want to. But I'll tell you something, I ain't afraid to preach it. But I mean, honestly, I got to go back up in May. They may be waiting on me. I don't know. But anyway, why you pray for me while I'm up there? And I want to tell you something. Don't be mad at me. And I'll tell you something. I'll throw a songbook at you. I'll tell you. Amen. We just getting started good. Amen. We ain't even warmed up yet. Amen. But I'm just excited to be here. I'm just as happy as if I had good sense. And my wife will tell you I don't. But boy, I tell you what. I got a good wife. Amen. She put up with me. But I love y'all. Amen. I want to tell you something else. I love the Lord. I tell what really counts, he loves me.
Amen.
And he loves you. Amen. And that's not just cheap preacher talk. I like that guy a while ago. He said it's personal. Amen. It's personal. But anyway, I'm just glad to see all of you. Acts chapter 28. Let's just stand one time and get a good stretch out. And, you know, in the book of Nehemiah, they had a wood pulpit. Amen.
Yes,
but I tell you what, I think we need to get Brother Craig back to where they had the chairs up here and the old men set up here. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, and they had the guys all sitting around them, you know. And boy, and they said, amen, amen. Boy, you read the book of Nehemiah, it'll tell you how your forefathers wound up, why you got wood pulpits and why you have church like you do. But anyway, we're in Acts chapter 28. And I'll tell you what let's do. Let's back up to verse number, chapter 27. Let's look at verse 42. And let's just kick it in right there. Now, you know that in chapter 27 is that great storm you rock with on.
Yeah.
Boy, tell you, it's a bad one. And they had this storm. And so when you come to the end of the chapter there, while they're getting ready to wreck, and they're getting ready to go to land on boards and so forth. And so we're going to pick it up and we'll kind of get there. By the way, there's a chapter called You Rock With On in this book. I've got to let that thing up, get out of the way there for a little bit, get some room here. But that's where we're at in chapter 27. You come up to, let's pick it up at about verse 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. Now, they was going to kill the prisoners lest either should swim out and escape. Because they knew that everybody's going to have to, one way or another, have to try to hit land. Verse 43 said, but the centurion willing to save Paul. You know, it's always good to have a good man of God around. You never know who it might say. You might know who to help. But he said, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they, which could swim, should cast themselves first in the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, when you get to chapter 28, and I don't tell you something, you're talking about a scene, a mess. Here's a ship that's been all wrecked up, busted up on the rocks. People jumping off and swimming. Some's grabbing hold of the board. And they're trying to get to the shore. 276 people.
Yeah.
And every one of them got there. And I'll tell you what, you talk, it's a mess, man. You talking about, and you might wonder, well, who drowned? Who made it? Who hadn't made it? And cold, boy, I'm telling you, the mess. You can read this and just kind of read it. I'll tell you, if you was on that boat, you'd say, I was in a mess, amen.
Amen.
And but anyway, verse number 1 of chapter 28 said, but when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. You know, isn't it funny that sometimes the world treats you better than the church?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, brother.
Some of you don't know that yet. You ain't been saved long enough and you haven't served long enough yet. Some of you are afraid to say amen to that. You know where you're going to get wounded at? In the house of your friends. And God's going to make sure of that. Amen. All right. Anyway. And the barbarous people show us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. It's raining. It's cold. And they're floating in and riding in on that thing. I mean, it's a mess, and they're coming in. And verse number 3 says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. I mean, tell you what, it goes from bad to worse. And that's the way life goes sometimes. You thought you saw it all. Just live till you're a little older. Amen. And he said in verse number 4, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after that had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him. Now this is just how people are. One minute they think you're a devil, and the minute they think you're a god. So just stick around. It's like the weather in the Ozarks. It'll change. If you don't like it, it'll change. Amen? It'd be different. But he said that they changed their minds and said he was a god. And in some quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also with diseases in the island came and were healed, who honored us with many honors when we departed and laid us with such things as were necessary. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the Bible. I want to thank you for saving my wretched, hell-bound soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me. And I want to thank you, God, tonight for the fresh mercy that you've had upon me. And I pray, God, that I know, Lord, I wasn't nothing when you saved me. I wasn't nothing when you called me, and I'm nothing tonight. But, God, you're everything. And I pray, God, tonight you'll fill me afresh and new with the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray you'll loose me in the power of God. I pray the Spirit of truth will fall upon me. I pray, God, you'll help me to love these people like God. Lord, in some manners, just love them through me somehow or another tonight. And, Lord, I pray that I'd be an encouragement to some folks, Lord, that's on a long voyage. And, God, I pray that you help them, Lord, through the wrecks of life and through the struggles of life. God, may I be an encouragement to this camp meeting tonight. God, to go on another year and another, Lord, to keep giving, just keep rolling in and going. And, God, keep our eyes on Jesus. God, give us wisdom. Give us instruction from this tonight. And God, say somebody in this building that's not saved. Oh, God, I pray the Holy Ghost will fall upon them tonight with old time Holy Ghost conviction of sin and the work of the Holy Ghost stretch yourself out upon them, brood upon their soul, Lord, I pray. And Lord, lift up the cross of Calvary to them, Lord, and hang them over hell tonight by a spider web. And Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that they'll be saved. God, for your glory. I pray, Lord, you'll take all the flesh and the nonsense and the human junk out of me tonight. And I pray, preach me with the power of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for these people. And, Lord, you let me know them in my life and the blessing they've been to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. Again, I want to thank you for being here. Tonight, I'm not sure what I'm preaching on. I know I'm preaching on this text, but I'm not sure just exactly the direction I'm going. But I do want to say this tonight, that to end this thing is just a way of introduction. Paul is on the voyage, and Paul is a picture oftentimes of the saved people, and especially of the servants of the Lord. But you know, Paul on this voyage, he had a wreck, and he got himself in a mess, and he wasn't out of the will of God, but God had a design in all this stuff that's going on. You know, some of the wrecks and problems and on your voyage, it isn't because maybe necessarily you've done something to help. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God, amen? I mean, I guarantee you, I don't want my laundry hung out before you tonight. I'm not talking about before I was saved. I'm talking about after I was saved. Amen. I don't want you knowing the thoughts and the battles and the struggles and the sin. I'll tell you what, I'm living under the grace of God tonight. I promise you that. But I want to tell you, the voyage can be rough and there can be a lot of wrecks and things like that. But there's also, during the course of our voyage, there are vipers. Now, I'll tell you something. If you're saved tonight, you're going to have to deal with vipers. Jesus dealt with vipers. And you're going to have to learn how to deal with vipers. But there's also venom in vipers. But I want to tell you, this text tonight teaches us how to have the victory in the middle of all that. Now, our Bible said here in our text that they kindled a fire, and then when Paul got there, 276 people, I don't know whether anybody else did or not, but it doesn't record that they did, but Paul is the only one they recorded that he went and gathered up a bundle of sticks and put on the fire. That makes Paul a fire builder. Paul's a fire. I love an open fire. Amen. Once in a while, when it gets good weather at our church on Wednesday night prayer meeting, We'll tell everybody, bring your lawn chair and some hot dogs, and we go out there and we'll have a fire on the ball field out up away from the church there, and we have our prayer meeting and sing a little bit just out there around the fire. Oh, I can sit around the fire all night long. Watch them things go up and look up in the sky. I don't know, maybe it's my barbarianism. I don't know what it is, but I like a campfire. Amen? I like a fire. And I want to say something else, that camp that we have for young people, they'll have a campfire service there. And that seems like it's one of the most favorite services there is. It's when there's a campfire, somebody built a fire. And then at my place, boy, I'm telling you, down below our house, Karen and I have got 2 or 3 fire pits. And boy, I like to have them grandkids come over and got a hot dog stick. And we just sit around there and they'll play games and run out in the dark and we'll have us a big time. And I love a campfire. But then also, I could just sit around it for a long time. But God is a fire builder too. The Bible tells us in the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, He said that fire is to ever be burning. God says, I want a fire burning continuously at the place of God's worship. And by the way, our heart and our body is the temple of the Lord. And He wants a fire built within this place of worship. You come to this church house, God says, I want a fire built and I don't want that fire going out. How many understand that there is a problem to keep the fire burning in your heart, keep your fire burning in your family, keep your fire burning in your church, and somebody's got to put the wood on the fire, amen. Somebody's got to put the wood on the fire. But not only that, when God led them out of the children of Israel, the land of Egypt, He led them and protected them with what? A pillar of fire. The Bible tells us that when God called Moses, what did He take him to? He took him to a burning bush, amen. Fire. The Bible said our God is a consuming fire. Isaiah, how did God deal with him? He took a coal off that fire that was burning and touched him. And God is trying to tell us something. You've got to keep that fire burning. You've got to keep wood on the fire. You've got to keep that thing rolling. You can't sit around and let somebody else do it all your life. You've got to keep fire going. Elijah was on Mount Carmel. What did God do? God brought the fire down and licked that water up. The fire is what made the difference and the power of God falls. And if anybody agree with me tonight that we must see in our generation, our children, our kids, our grandkids have got to see the fire of God. They've got to see the fire of God. It can't be souped up, pretended, bunch of junk that we've charged up. We've got to have the fire of God fall. There will be no other fix for this thing. You can't plan it out. You can't program it in. We've got to have the fire of God fall. Individually. Family, our church, we got to have the fire of God, Jesus. When He was on the bank after His resurrection, He had a fire going. You can feed people when you've got a fire going. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the fire of God fell. Bible says in Jeremiah, about His preaching, He said, the fire was in my bones. And He said, I couldn't quit preaching. But I'll tell you something, if you've ever been called, you don't have to. I'll tell you, you may have a battle or two. But I'm going to tell you right now, God puts a fire in the preacher's bones. I don't care what you say. I've watched it over the years. I'll tell you, man of God, you can have a little false fire for a while. It may not last. But if God's put a fire in you, buddy, I'm going to tell you something, it's going to burn. It may get low. He may need to put some kindle on it, but it's going to go. When the Emmaus disciples, Jesus walked with them, what did it say? They said, our hearts burn within us. To do a work of God, there has to be a fire built. And tonight I'm not down here to beat on you. I'm not down here to condemn you. I'm down here tonight to encourage everybody within the sound of my voice. Let's get the fire built. Let's be fire builders and do what we can to get the fire built for the glory of God. Let's put some wood on the fire. I'm telling you tonight, listen, we need the fire of old time preaching. We need the fire of old time praying. I'll tell you what, you don't hardly hear anybody pray anymore. I tell you, they used to pray the fire of God down. I like that old story about, I don't even remember the guy's name back in the 1800s. I believe it was, it'll come to me pretty soon, but he stopped to stay at an inn. And he said when he was in there, he would come down to that place to get something to eat. Well, they were fixing to have a dance. And as the fiddlers all got round up, and they were fixing to have a dance at this place where this old preacher was staying. I can't think of his name. Don't know why I can't. But anyway, he said there's a young lady walked across the dance floor. So he said, I stood there and watched that thing for a while and thought, how am I going to get around this to where I'm supposed to eat? And the lady walked out of the crowd and said, hey, old preacher, said, don't you want to dance? And she pulled him up in the dance floor. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. And he pulled him up in the dance floor. And she said, man, I want to dance with the preacher. And you know what that old preacher did? That preacher said, young lady, I'll be glad to dance with you, but I don't do anything before I pray. Let's pray and then we'll dance. And everybody, hey, I'll tell you what, the fiddles quit popping and the quiddles quit tuning up. And that man prayed the power of God down.
Amen.
People began to cry out to God.
Yes.
There were like 30-some people saved right there in the middle of that dance hall. And a church was started right there out of that dance hall. I'm talking tonight about the fire prayer. How long has it been since you've prayed fervently? I mean, prayed effectually. How long? I'll tell you what, just last week I learned about a woman whose son was a sodomite. A dentist, a very rich dentist up in Chicago, Illinois. And this woman was a Hindu. She is from China. And she got saved when her son went off and said he's a sodomite, got messed up. You can't imagine the filth this guy got messed up in. But a man led her to Christ. And then she led her husband to Christ. That woman, for 7 years, fasted and prayed every Monday. Then finally on the 7th year, she fasted 39 days. Did you know her son was in prison? A sodomite, God-hating, Bible-hating, Christian-hating sodomite. Did you know that he walked by one day a trash can in the prison yard and saw a little New Testament laying on top of the trash, looked at it, reached down and got it, took it back to his cell room and started reading it, got glorious saved, and today he is an instructor in evangelism at the Moody Bible Institute in Illinois. Why? Because somebody prayed the fire down on him. I'll tell you something. You want to see things change. I tell you, you can get some hot fire going. I tell you, our kids need to see us praying again. They don't need to see our putting on penny any bunch of nonsense Christianity. They're sick of it. They're sick of our hypocrisy. They're sick of our put on. But you get the fire of God involved, brother, you're going to see a difference in things. I'm talking tonight about this, that Paul was a fire builder. Paul saw the need. Paul saw the value of it. Paul saw the benefit of it. And he did something about it. He didn't sit in the church and suck it dry and move on to the next church. Yeah. Some of you said you're not sure if you're a fire sucker. You suck the fire out of the preacher, out of the singer, out of the prayers, everything. And when they can't entertain you, do nothing for you anymore, you're off to the next church where you heard the guy can really preach. And you suck the oxygen out of that fire till there ain't no fire left. You go off to another one. And then you run around and talk about they ain't got no fire. When's the last time you put the fire on the wood? When's the last time? I'm getting a little mean now. I feel a little mean streak climbing up this leg. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's the truth. Our churches have got to have a revival of fire of God Almighty or we're going to die. These churches, hey, can I tell you something? One more generation like this, and this church house will be empty. There'll be empty church houses everywhere. That's right, so it is. Paul been through a storm. He come out of Fair Havens. When you got saved, it's Fair Havens, amen? How they lied to you and told you if you'd get saved, everything would be wonderful, joy, peace, happiness, ever after. They lied to you, didn't they, to get you saved? Well, you got saved, you ain't had nothing but hell on wheels ever since. Ain't that right? I'll tell you something, I don't think it's right to tell people, oh, you get saved, everything be wonderful, help your marriage, help your finances, that's a bunch of lies. You get saved, I tell you, the devil try to tear you and your wife up. Try to tear your business up, your job up, everything, attack you every direction he can. Man, I gotta quit this rabbit trail, and they started out at Fair Havens got a storm, and then the Bible says they got into the present rain and the present cold. And they were in need of a fire and serving the Lord and Christian experience. And I'm telling you, we need a fire continuously. Those barbarous people kindled the fire, and Paul, he put some kindling on it. He gathered a bundle of sticks and laid on it. Paul's a fire builder, and I want you and I tonight to examine ourselves. I want you to talk to yourself while I'm preaching. You can do that. You do anyway. Amen? You can think while I'm preaching. And I want you to think, am I a fire builder in my home? Am I a fire builder at our church? Am I a fire builder at our community? I mean, truly and honestly, am I putting some wood on the fire of Christianity? Paul was a fire builder. 276 people on that ship. As far as I know, Paul's the only one feeding the fire. 275 people sitting around freezing to death, waiting on somebody else to go get a stick.
Amen.
Amen. I got a good friend, Montana. He was paralyzed the waist down. He's 16 years old. He said, Reggie, until I was about 12 years old, I thought my name was Go Get Wood. How many's ever been there? Daddy and Mama said, go get wood, go get wood, go get wood, amen. But I tell you something, the people that's taught how to go get wood will be people who put some wood on the fire of life. And again, I want to declare that in God's work, There is God's fire required and needed. If there's going to be a fire, somebody's got to contribute to it. That's just the way God set it up. And somebody has got to get some fuel and put on the fire around here, something for something good to come of it, to be a fire builder in the church. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons for the fire, First of all, when you're coming off that ship, can you imagine that whenever people comes into our churches on Sunday morning, let me tell you what they are. A lot of people coming in worried, and they need calming and they need comfort in this time. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't do that if your church ain't got a fire of God built in. I didn't say you got to have a Holy Ghost, some kind of Pentecostal shout. Now, you can do what you want to. I don't care. Last Sunday morning, you say, I'm preaching off the side of my head. I ain't tall. I sit right there with that man sitting right there. I always sit in the second seat over. I got that seat. And my wife sits right there. And one of the men in our church, he's been through a heart attack. And they operated on him. And that chest bone, that sternum right there didn't heal up. Well, it just wiggles. So they're going to have to do it all over again. But he's an old-time singer. I mean, he's got that old-time deal. I mean, he knows that them beats, them shape notes and all that stuff. We got about 20 of our young people up there on Easter Sunday now, Brother Mike, and they got up there, and them young people singing, "He bore it all." Woo!
Come on,
man. I'll tell you what, they rung that thing on the second round. I like that Holy Ghost cowbell. I mean, literally, when they got finished, I jumped up, leaped over the top of this pew. I jumped up and said, "Bless God Almighty! These kids are building a fire in this church!" And the whole congregation sung the song. If he bore it all, don't size you, your wood's wet, amen?
Come on.
He did bore it all. He bore it all, amen. But you know what? You got people coming into our church houses. I'll tell you, life's real. But I'm telling you, and I don't go for the stuff just, you know, a Sunday morning deal, then you have a religious life and a secular life. I don't go for that. All ground's holy ground. Now, what I'm saying about this, those people didn't know. What if my brother made it? Did my sister make it? Wonder where they're at. Did they come in? I mean, they might have come in on a 4-mile stretch. Who knows where? Who's at? People come into church on Sunday morning. Sunday night, they're worried. You see, what they're worried about? They got a kid on dope. They got a grandson that's drowning himself in liquor. They got a daughter shacked up with somebody, getting one heartbeat away from busting hell wide open. They don't always come in all excited. They come in worried, and they need calming. And they need comfort from God. It could be their marriage is about on the rocks. I'll tell you what, you can have a couple sitting right in church and they can be singing "Love Lifted Me" and you don't know, but next week they're leaving. I preach revival meetings where literally a woman got up stood and said, "I was getting ready to leave my husband in the morning." You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what kind of struggles they're having. And I'm saying they come in worried about things. They're worried about their children. They may be worried about their job. They may be worried about their finances. They don't know how they're going to pay that car when the motor blew up and cost them $1,400 and that blew everything out of the water. And they're worried about things. And they need to know there's a God. They need to be in that love, the fire, the warmth of God to know that God is the God of miracles and God can do it. Listen, I know of a young lady this week who had a $900 and some dollar interest. She had a little bitty wreck, just a little bitty wreck. Well, you know, little bitty wrecks ain't little bitty wrecks.
That's right.
And she had 2 or 3 little bitty things in her insurance deductible, I believe $900 and some on it. Little bitty stupid deal. And you know what God did? She called me and told me. She got a pile of scrap given to her for $270. Then, all of a sudden, she gets a call and She sells real estate, and a lady, she had given a lady a reference like 2 years ago on a piece of property, and that lady called and says, "Oh, just wanted you to know we're closing that property you gave me a reference on." That was 2 days later, and your part's going to be $700 some dollars. Did you add it up? People's worried about stuff. How are they going to pay their bills? How's this going to turn out? Tonight, cancer, it's everywhere. There's all kinds of problems. People worried about their country. They're worried about their spouse. They're worried about their health. They're worried about finances and all these things. And I tell you, when they come into church, they need to sense. They don't have to be told. They need to sense and know that people in this church care. They know a God that can meet the need. They know a God that can sustain you, a God that can take care of you. And they've got to know when they're worried, they've got to know there's a fire built in that place you can get some comfort. You know, when it's cold, you gather around the fire, there's comfort there. Amen. Listen, I can preach all night. They don't need Jack Frost as a pastor and Polar Bear as a deacon. They don't need to go to the First Church of the Deep Freeze where everybody told them, "Who's that? I ain't never seen them here before." Amen. You treat you like, you know, "Who are you? I'll tell you what, you need to have somebody standing at the back door, somebody pops out of that car, big old smile on your face, shake your hand and say, we're glad to have you. I don't care if they got 40 dozen earrings hanging off their stupid ears and tattooed from the top of their nose down to their feet, and I don't like that junk, but I'm going to tell you something, they might be worried. They may be worried they're going to hell. And they need a fire. We need to keep the fire burning in here so the word can be calm. We need some hot preaching, amen. They don't need some old stale bread, 3 points in a poem that grandma talked to me about. Singing about the flowers on Little Willie's grave. That's okay. That's all right. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, we need some hot preaching. We need some hot singing. Amen. I'm telling you, get up there and sing. I mean, when the Holy Ghost of God's on you, I can't stand. Victory in Jesus. My Savior. That makes me sick. And I know it makes God sick. And those people are going to come in and go, whoa, I think we'll look somewhere else next week. These people are about to die. They're freezing to death. They can't even sing. Did you know the first evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is having a song in your heart? That's the Bible. I'm sorry, it's not you babbling tongues. It's the have a song in your heart. I don't care if you don't like that. This ain't the first rodeo I've been to. No, you ain't going to fool this preacher. I've read the Bible. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. First thing, it goes right down through there. How about loving your wife as Christ loved the church is an evidence that you're filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Yeah. Whoa, 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 Reggie. Off that track. Back on track. We need some hot preaching, some hot singing, some warm fellowship. I want to tell you, we don't need no frowns and scowls and cold, carnal, complacent attitudes. I'm telling you something, we need to bring some wood whistles to church. You say, well, my wife and I got in a fight 15 minutes before church. Confess your sin, and get it under the blood, and get on to church, amen. Probably the reason you and your wife got in a fight is because the devil wants to try to put water on your fire so you'll be a dead fish at the church. Say, honey, I'm sorry. I think. Amen. Just tell them how it is, amen. I had a wrong attitude. I shouldn't have acted like that. How many of you have ever come to church been in a fuss with your spouse? Raise your hand. Oh, we got most of us telling the truth in here. Now, some of you are lying. I'm telling you right now, listen, hey, life is real, amen. Did you know that when you get up on Sunday morning, the cows are going to be out, the cat's going to be run over, the dog's going to be at the neighbor's eating his chickens. There's going to be all kinds of stuff to get you all set for church. Yeah. Amen, amen. Did you say I had 25 or 30 minutes?
You keep going.
All right, okay. Because I think my time's about out, amen. I'm just saying, listen, you sometimes got to jump over hell to get to church and keep the fire burning, amen. Walk in there, I don't care if your cat died, got run over, and your engine blowed out, and the lawnmower quit all the same day. Say, bless God, He still reigns, He's still on high, I'm still saved by the grace of God, God is still good, amen. Good to see you this morning, I'm glad you made it. Get your hide out of bed and get a fire built. Woo! We're having a good old time in glory tonight. Amen. I tell you right now, some of them are worried and need coming, but some of them are weary and needs to be encouraged. Woo! Guess who the first one is? Your preacher. Come on, boys. Yeah, boy. I'll tell you, you want to know the truth about me? I have been in the worst week of my life spiritually. Absolutely. Worst week of my life spiritually. Never got hit so hard in my life. Never got so taunted. I told my wife this morning, it's like a million devils out of hell coming at me. Weary. You get tired in the battle. You get tired of the nonsense. Just well be honest about it. There's just times my wife and I, we have this dream. 5 acres in Montana. Yep. 40 miles to the first store. Living in the middle of government forest so we don't see people. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, amen, brother. Amen. I want to tell you something. Listen, people are weary. Amen. They're tired in their journey. Oh, Peter got weary. He said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to fishing. But I tell you, listen. Jesus was on the shore. There's 276 souls in that thing, 14 days, there's a fighting storm, fast and weary and cold, and they need a place of comfort and rest. Many of the old songs said that keeps the fire burning. Folks feel like quitting. Feel like giving up. Throwing in the towel. But you know what the Bible says? As your days shall demand, so shall your strength ever be. That's a fact. But I'm going to tell you right now. I've had everything. You know, can I give you a sob story? You don't hear a good. Don't you love preacher sob stories? How bad we've had it.
Yeah.
Well, we've had it bad. Let's have a preacher pity party here.
Right.
I mean, we've had it bad. Brother Craig, three more families left the church. They don't like me anymore. Oh, it's fun when you've pastored people for 25 years, when you've buried their loved ones, when you stood in the hospital waiting room with them when their loved one was dying, when you stood around the bedside with them, when you prayed with them for their kids to get saved, and then all of a sudden pop up one day and they act like they're cold about something. And you're kind of like, you ask your wife, well, that's something don't feel right. Then all of a sudden somebody else in church calls you up and says, well, I found out they're not going to be back anymore. And they don't even call you. They don't even say, hey, it was good. I'm going to tell you all something right here. Everybody needs to hear that cares about the cause of Christ in this country. That junk right there is the reason our youth is why 80% of the young people growing up in churches like this are not in church when they're 28 years old.
Right.
They're sick of it. They're sick of seeing guys, hey, man, good to see you. Bless your heart, I sure do love you. And then you just quit. And you take off some other church. And you claimed you loved everybody in there. Did you know what love does? Let me tell you what love does. Love, first thing love, charity does, it suffers long. You know what that means? You put up with people and you put up with people. You can't preach with it. You can't pastor church without charity. Because you just have to put up with them. And they have to put up with you. Hey, by the way, if you can find a perfect pastor, let me know about him because I'll let him have my church. I'd like my folks to have a perfect pastor. They've never had one yet. And I've been there 37 years. Amen. I'm the only one that they know about. But I'm just honest with you. People get weary and burned out. I think something like 1,500 pastors a month quitting in America. 97% of pastors in America admit privately they're burned. They're depressed. They're sick of it. Because they get up and try to preach what the Word of God says and people get mad at them. You know where we're at? Let me tell you how sorry and low down shaped church is in. You can get up, Brother Mike, and say, oh, I tell you that abortion crowd. Boy, they'll just, amen, amen, amen. But I tell you that abortion. Yeah, it is bad. Then you get up and say, and I'm going to tell you something else. Some of you got your daughters wearing dresses up to her hip, and some of your boys, I mean, look like a queer. Oh, Jezebel. Yeah, he was talking about your daughter. Yes!
Come on.
You know something? I've been around the block. You don't play with me. I've been around a little bit, okay? Don't know everything. Don't know nothing. I've been around. I know what's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a sick mess when man of God preaches that book and all he does is preach on modesty. And you're going to get mad because your daughter's not. Because your little stupid grandson's got a gold chain hanging down here and trying to show somebody two hairs of a German Shepherd dog he glued on the front of his chest. And you going to get mad about that? You going to get mad the preacher gets up and preaches on the boys wearing earrings and all that kind of junk and your grandson's got an earring in his ear? And you ain't never said squat to him. You ain't got the... You don't even love your own grandson enough to tell him that's hard. That's pitiful.
That's right.
Amen. And the preacher has to do it, and then your wife gets mad at the preacher for preaching on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Come on.
I don't know what it is. My wife says I get to looking mean when I'm preaching. She says, Reggie, the Bible says speaking the truth in love. I said, I ain't speaking, I'm preaching. There's always an out, isn't there? There's always an out. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Hey, you know whether your preacher loves you or not. And then sometimes they're wet and they need warming. You know, I'll tell you what, I come into church with pure wet and cold. The Bible said those people was coming in wet and cold. You had cold water thrown on you all week long. Folks come into church, they're just wet and they're cold. It ain't that they're bad, bad sinner. They don't need their heads beat off. I'll tell you something, when you're wet and cold, it's nice to back up to a fire. Amen? And I ain't going to go in, but sometimes people come in our church and they're wounded and they need help. Well, I'll tell you, they need healing. They've been wounded. Maybe at the work this week. They're told that their job was secure and they got fired. And they just bought a house and thought they was going to be able to take care of it. They're wounded. Or maybe their son or their daughter did something that hurt them terribly bad. Or maybe their spouse, their heart is broken. They're bleeding. Their homes are broken and bleeding. And I want to tell you something. People need, when they're wounded, you know what Christianity is? One of our faults is that we shoot our own wounded. Oh, bless God, there's a brother in Christ that got wounded. Stomp his guts out while he's down. Other times, I got to keep trucking. People are lonely oftentimes, needing friendship, needing fellowship. Sometimes they're weak and they need to be strengthened. They come into our church this week. I went to church weak. I went to church wounded. I went to church wet. I went to church weary. I went to church all those things. I know what I'm talking about. David said in Psalm 6, verse number 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak. Weak and wounded from the fall, the old song says. And I'm going to tell you what will strengthen you is the bread of life, the word of God, and the fire of hope, and the fire of faith, and the fire of comfort, and it will strengthen us. But sometimes folks come and they need a fire because they're wicked and they need to be saved. Amen. Fire gives light.
Amen.
Fire gives light. Let me tell you something. When lost people come into our churches, they need the fire of God burning. Amen. They need to know there's a different life they can have. And I'm going to tell you something that makes me sick. And that's when a preacher gets up and says, well, we know you've made some bad choices. No, they did not. They sinned against God. We're taking every Bible word out of our pulpits that everyone's in there. It's not a bad choice. It's wickedness and it's sin and it's evil. It's vile. It's foul. It's out of hell. Amen. Let me tell you, when America was a good country, when preachers jumped on top of the pulpits preaching hellfire and brimstone, nobody wants to hear about hell. Nobody wants to hear about the lake of fire. Nobody wants to think their kids are going to hell. Nobody wants to think this is the way it is. Oh, you made some bad choices behind your little glass pulpit. That stuff makes me sick. You didn't hear Billy Sunday say, you made some bad choices.
Come on.
You say, what are you talking about? Well, all right. Just recently, I have a Facebook ministry. I made a Facebook clip. I made a Facebook clip, and I preached on sodomy. I got my badge. I got thrown off Facebook for 2 weeks. Amen. Well, you ain't doing nothing if you don't get thrown off Facebook. Amen. Anyway, this young girl who used to go to our church, she got all out of sorts, and her mom and dad got all sorts. In fact, just recently, the mom and dad got a divorce off the mess you ever seen. She goes on Facebook and talks about how I use the word sodomite. And how do I expect to win then by using the word sodomite? Well, I'm just going to tell you something. God doesn't want you saying gay.
Amen. Come on.
God wants you to use His Bible, His word. There's nothing gay about that. By the way, He doesn't want you to use the word affair. God wants you to use the word adultery. God doesn't want you to use sexually active. He wants you to use fornication. This is killing us. We've left the Bible and we're going to be judged by Almighty God for it. God says it's sodomites. That word connects it to the evil and the wickedness and the horribleness that it is. But you got Christians now saying, oh, you shouldn't use words. You shouldn't be so offensive like that. You'll offend sinners. You can't win them like that. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to win them not being like that.
That's right.
I promise you this right now. Yes, we need to love everybody, but I'm going to tell you right now. You mark the word and I'm going to tell you. We've done a lot of wickedness in this country, but two things are going to kill this country, and that is we've killed 55, 60, 75 million babies unborn, and the other is this sodomite issue. It's going to kill this country. God's going to judge us. If God doesn't nail this nation because of it, He'll have to dig up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to every one of them. It's killing this country. Now we've got them running for president. It makes me sick to my stomach. I don't care if you're... I don't care who you're related to. It's wicked. Why don't you get it? You ought to have enough backbone and enough love to say it. That somebody said, what do you, I'll tell you right now. If I had a grandson of a sodomite, you know what I'd tell him? I'll tell you something right now. Number one, you're hanging one heartbeat away from hell. Number two, you ain't coming to sit in my house for Sunday dinner until you repent and get saved and I see the evidence of it. Yes, sir, buddy. And when you repent, there will be nobody in this world love you more than I love you. And I'm here for you. But you need somebody at this point in your life to love you enough to tell you the truth. All this sauce open around having to come in for Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving stuff sitting at your table and all your other grandkids and your kids thinking, well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Yeah. You know what your Bible says that you claim to believe? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what your Bible says. Oh, I see some of you getting a little sweaty underneath. I'm sweating too, so I don't care. Amen. But there's something wicked need to be saved. We need some old time conviction. That fire of God will bring conviction. You want to tell you something? I'll tell you about it. It bothers me when a lost man can come to where I pastor and he can sit there for 6 months and not get saved. I'm bothered because either he's hard as a rock or I'm not preaching the fire hot enough. I'm just being honest with you. And I want him to come. But I tell you, they need to hear the fire of truth. They need to hear the fire of God's love, the fire of God's redemption, the fire of the cross, the fire of the resurrection, the fire of the blood. They need to hear the fire of God. Amen. Church, they don't need to come into some dead, cold, lifeless religious mausoleum or museum. Our God is a consuming fire. And in 1982, God saved me and called me to preach. And I'm telling you, he put a fire in my soul. And I said, God, I don't want that fire to go out in me. And I have to put some wood on it and get my Bible and go out in the woods and sit on a stump and read my Bible and pray. I'm telling you something. We have to have the fire of God. We need not just preachers. We need smilers and ushers and sound people and teachers and singers and instrument players that has the fire of God upon them. I'll tell you what, I wish I could do what that guy. Do you mind if I enjoy myself tonight? I'll tell you something. You bless my heart. But I don't even go there. Amen. I wish I could do what he did. But you know what I liked about it? He put his soul into it. Amen. I don't know you from Adam's house cat, but I just like the way you play the piano. I'm sorry. Hey, when my wife kisses me, I like it. I like the fire in it. Amen. Oh, when's the last time you said, honey, kiss me, but don't get too excited about it? Hey, you know what? I'll be honest with you, Brother Craig. I got so many messages in my head and my heart that I could preach for a week. I ain't kidding. All kinds of stuff. Wouldn't it be fun? But I'm going to tell you something. You want to picture? You know what you need to do? I'll just stop and put this. This ain't even a message. But you'll do well to put a fire in your marriage. Some of you guys, they took your wife out to eat and who knows long. All you can do is go out about because it wasn't your socks wasn't in your door. Where's my underwear? Where's my t-shirts? They're still in the dryer. Right? Yeah. 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 You know what's killing us? Hey, don't tell the world about it. Our divorce rate in church is 55%. Just high as it is in the world. You know why? Because God's locked it in. If you don't keep the fire built in your marriage, it's going to go out. And you husbands ain't loving your wife as Christ loved the church. I'm going to tell you something. You just look that far. I'm going to tell you right now, if your wife ain't nothing but a sex object to you, she's got that figured out before you know what's up and down.
That's right.
And when she senses she's nothing but a sex object to you, the fire's going to go out in your marriage. You can mark it down in your day book. But I'm going to tell you ladies something. You get cold as a pickle and you don't want to have any relations with your husband, stuff like that. And you get cold toward him, you get ready for a bomb to go off. Amen. Can I tell you something? God did create us male and female, and he did ordain marriage. And he, by the way, did you know the first command was be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth? That's the first command he ever gave. Did you know God never did any command he ever gave in the Bible without giving you grace to do it? That's why you boys feel like you feel. Boy, I got off on a wild one, didn't I? Somebody needs to say it. You got to keep the fire built in your marriage. It's going to mess up on you, amen? Fires and flowers, amen. Come on. You ladies sitting there wanting to say, amen. If you want more fun and entertainment, go to summonaudio.com. I've got 800 and some messages on there. They're $16 a piece. Listen to all you want to. They don't cost you a dime. I'm just teasing you. They don't cost anything, amen. Now, we've looked at the reasons for a fire. We said, well, there are people's worried. There's people that's weary. There's people that's wounded. People that's weak. People that's wicked, they need to be saved. People that's wet and cold. And by the way, there's wrecks that need to be salvaged. Is there anybody in this church besides me that's made a wreck?
Oh, yeah.
You just wrecked. Aren't you glad God's in the salvage business?
Amen.
Now, I gave you the reasons that we need fire in our churches. And I'm just going to say it one more time. I'll tell you what, we need fire in the pulpits. We need fire in the singing. We need fire in the praying. I tell you, we need fire in the visiting. We need fire, evangelistic fire, caring for souls, fire, the witness. All that, we need that fire. But there's results to a fire. Now, here's what I want you to pay attention. We've been having a pretty good time up to this point. I am having a good time. Y'all a good bunch. I really appreciate it. I told you I love Arkansas. I do, boy. I don't know why I was born north of the line. God must have said, you ain't good enough to live in Arkansas. I don't know what it was. But the first thing that will happen, if you look in your Bible, is that you'll get attacked by Satan if you build a fire in your church. Now, let me just tell you something. Where a lot of people's at in this country. Honey, where do you want to go to church at? I don't know. We've got hurt over there. We've got hurt over there. Wherever we go, though, I'm going to find me a spot that nobody else is sitting in. And I want us to go in and sit. And we don't want to get acquainted with nobody. We don't go eat dinner with nobody. We don't do anything in church. We go to church. Because if we build a fire, you know what's going to happen. Did you know that there has never been a fire builder in the work of God but what did not get attacked by a viper?
Right.
And the reason people are leery about building a fire, they know that if they get on fire for God, they become a target of Satan. And they don't even have to be told that. They intuitively know that either by watching or by personal experience. And so if you're going to get on fire for God, you know, if you raise your hand and said, Hallelujah, glory to God. Somebody said, he's a fake. Oh, viper. Edit that. No. Did you know that old Paul, he got that bundle of sticks? Well, he went over picking up an old stick. He got that stick. He picking them up. He come back over. He said, boys, here's some more wood. He said, I ain't going to let everybody. I said, we got people out there still swimming in. They get to shore. By the way, did you know they could see where to come to when that light? He didn't want no little bitty light. He'll put some wood on the fire and get that thing burning. So Paul takes it up there. Bam! Don't you hate snakes? If you're a snake lover, you're in the wrong service. And don't even play snake games with me. I mean, I take all plastic snakes as real. Amen. First you kill the snake and then you kill the snake player. Amen. All right. But Paul put that wood on the fire. He got the preaching hot. He got the singing hot. He got the praying hot. He wanted them folks coming in stranded off that ship to be able to see a fire. He wanted to have a place to come to. But in doing that, bam, no viper bomb. Do you know we lost 300 and some men in Vietnam just by a viper snake, my little green viper? We lost 300 and I believe 30 some men in Vietnam bitten by a little green viper that's on the vines over there. Vipers are mean. They'll bite, they'll get you. As I told you, Jesus, dealing with the Pharisees. Now, watch it now. Vipers are religious lost people. In the heat, but not in the fire.
Amen.
And when things heat up, then's when the viper is going to come after you. You see, you build that fire of repentance and that fire of separation and that fire of holiness and that fire of dedication and that fire of consecration, you watch the vipers come out. You say, man, I want to do a work for God. Did you know, for 37 years, brother, it just seemed like I've dealt with vipers. I don't want a fire going. I don't want cold singing. I don't want cold preaching. I don't want cold fellowship. I want a fire burning. But you have fire burning. Get ready for the snakes. They'll come after you. And they'll latch on to you. Man, as I said a while ago, you get to preaching on modesty. And you get to preaching on this goofy, stupid music they're singing in these churches. Mm-hmm. Your rock and roll and your in your country western swing and all that. I mean, you know, some people, I've literally had some old men say, Reggie, you know what? The bars didn't play as bad of music as they played in the bars when I was a boy as they do in churches now. You get to preaching on the Bible issue, about the authorized version Bible. Oh, they'll all say, I believe in the inspired Word of God. That don't mean nothing. Do you believe it's the preserved Word of God? You get to preaching on honesty. You get to preaching on, as I said, sodomites and purity and social club substitution for the churches and all kinds of junk. You get to preaching on drinking and drugs and tobacco. I went into revival services and five deacons standing out on the porch sucking cigarettes and watching old lost boys come. Ding, ding, the bell rings. Better go in, boys. And then, you know, I'm going to get up, sing, I'll fly away. I'm going to try to do it just as much as I can like George Jones did. And we get in the microphone and we're going to woo people. Mm-mm. Don't bring that barroom stuff in the church house of God. The Holy Ghost will just, the devil be gone. Now, I like fiery music and I like exciting music. I like just what the Bible says, singing, make melody in your heart, all those different kinds of songs. But I'll tell you, anybody who has the Holy Ghost of God living inside him knows when that junk hits the scene. You know, kidding me, if you know God, you know when that junk. But you know why we don't? I've been in revival meetings before. Brother Craig, I mean, just blow your mind. A bunch of little girls get up, you know, maybe 10, 12 years old, and do a cheerleading routine, some kind of a step. I don't know what they're doing. And hanging their arms like this at a, what do they call them things? Somebody's afraid to say. He'd go to them all the time. Then anyway, I'm like, am I at church?
Yeah.
Am I at church? What's going on? And then women getting up there, boy, you know, and they're doing their leggy deal, and they're, oh, I'm in there. Oh, I tell you what, they're really, you girls, if you ain't any dumber, if you're not any smarter than that, go to the house and sit for about 3 weeks in a pile of hay. Because if you as a girl or a woman ain't any smarter than to know that that excites men to see your body moving, you ain't got no sense. You're dumber than a box of rocks. Somebody needs to, your mama and grandma needs to take you out yonder and talk to you a little while. Amen. So, but here comes your little granddaughter. She's your pride and joy. She's an angel. She's my granddaughter. And she gets up and sings, you know, what's that old hussy that always sings? Got the Dolly Land, Dolly Parton. She gets up and sings Dolly Parton stuff. And everybody goes, you've been in one of the churches. You've been in one of them services where they've done something stupid, but everybody expects you to go. So a preacher comes in. He says, where'd this junk come from? Woo! You talking about my granddaughter? I'll whoop me a preacher. I'm going to whoop me a preacher. I'm going to pick one that ain't big as that, but I'm going to whoop me a preacher. Ain't that dumb, amen. Ain't that dumb. But isn't it wild that people get mad? And you know what? Let me tell you how this junk's coming in the church. It's because we don't, watch this now, watch this. We don't have any fire. The fires went out. Your kids grow up. They're bored to death with church. You sing, I'll fly away like you flopped away. And you're just as dead as you could be. And so you know what? They're saying, let's bring something in to live them the place up. So we'll have false fire now. So we're going to get that hooked up and sing it 11 times. And we got our little boards. And we and our kids are growing up. They don't only think about Rock of Ages. At the cross, at the cross.
Come on.
Isn't it pitiful?
Yeah.
And we wonder. But why, I'm going to tell you why that junk's coming in our churches. Because the fire went out of us.
Yes,
we quit shouting. We quit amening.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, my grandkids, as long as they go to church where I'm preaching, they're going to hear their grandpa pray. I mean, I am not letting the fire go out. God be my helper. And they're going to know that God is real. I'm telling you what we've got to do. But here's what happens. You preach on that liquor, that dope, that marijuana. This is to the point now. We got a bunch of people sitting in church. Saying, well, I tell you what, there ain't nothing wrong with medical marijuana. I don't care whether you're Arkansas is like or not. Let me tell you, you ain't fooling this old country boy. I have been around the block. I saw my first joint when I was about 16 years old at the Square in Ava, Missouri. And marijuana is demonic. And I don't care if your grandson's selling it. It is a gateway drug. Oh, you know what? I had some fun the other day. I was down at Kingston doing a book signing. And a lady walked in there, and you know what? She did me a favor. Now, I wouldn't recommend you read it at all. But I got acquainted with Sheriff Baker. Madison County. And she says, Reggie, I think you should read this book. And I read it, and it's nasty. I want to tell you something. I will say this, and that guy cut his throat and killed himself over at a Fayetteville Walmart store after he's an old man and stole, got picked up shoplifting, and then when they called the cops, cut his own throat and stabbed himself to death. And he's the kid who grew the marijuana and claims he sold it to the sheriff all those years. I don't know whether all that's true or not. Don't have any clue, but I'm going to tell you this much. The boy is honest about marijuana. He tells you in that book that he prays to the gods of marijuana. Yeah. And the marijuana trade is killing this country. It's killing our kids. And I'm going to tell you right now, you sit around talking about marijuana, but I'm going to tell you, can I give you something? That if Jesus Christ, who supposedly saved your soul from hell, doesn't have enough power to give you joy without your joint, you ain't got nothing, buddy. You ain't got nothing. Can I tell you something? I don't need a bottle. I don't need a can. I don't need a joint. I don't need any of that junk to have the joy of the Lord as my strength. And I'm going to tell you something. After they're lying out their teeth because they know when they start doing that joint, it has the same thing as a bottle of wine or a can of beer will do to you. It'll lower your inhabitations, and all they're wanting to do is commit immorality and feel good about it. And so you can tell them that there's no preacher from Missouri down here who said, I hope you get thrown in the federal pen for peddling. I'm going to tell you right now. The problem is, but when your grandson or your son got picked up for it, you didn't want him put in jail. It was bad as long as it was everybody else, Craig. But when your granddaughter got picked up with it, well, now you know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what? You're a hypocrite. You're not being consistent, and you don't even love your own children enough. And I'll tell you something further. They get arrested in it. You don't give you some old-time advice. They get arrested. Don't you go down and bail them out. Let them rot for about till the judge calls them up. And they might happen not want to go back again. But you trot down there, and, man, we are awful on so many things. Anyway, I'm going to tell you something. I'm an old-timer, and I'm just 65 years old and just getting started good. Still wet behind the ears. But I'm going to tell you, I don't like nose rings in boys or girls. I don't like tattoos. The Bible said not to mark your body. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you've got tattoos and your ear down to your feet, I'm going to love you and tell you the gospel. Amen? And you can be just as saved and just as forgiven as anybody in this world. But I'm going to tell you something right now. All this earring business, these boys wearing earrings and nose rings and the girls, all this stuff. I'm going to tell you something else. It's going to be fun because I'm just be here tomorrow. He might run me off tonight. I go back to Missouri. You get mad at a fence post. I don't care. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. You girls, you know what? You got earrings all tacked up through your ears. What are you trying to do? What's the message? What are you trying to tell me? You are telling me several things. You're telling me that you're not happy with how God made you, number one. You're telling me that you want to draw attention to your outward physical instead of your internal person. You're telling me you're not happy that you're in competition with other girls trying to get all the attention of the boys. And when you do these things, when you preach on these things, or you stand for these things as parents and grandparents, you will be attacked by the viper. They will latch on to you. You're going to be attacked by the viper. You know, isn't it funny what a viper has? He has a little forked tongue. That's how vipers in the church work. I'm going to tell you something right now. Oh, I can jump up here and preach on sodomy and preach on immorality and preach on all this stuff. I want to tell you what needs to be more preached than anything I know of in our churches, and that's a stinking tongue that has destroyed more lives and more ministry and more of the work of God by vipers running their mouth. Oh, let's just go ahead and hit it. Butch haircuts on girls. And you little snowflake punks, the color boys dyeing your hair. I tell you what, I'm 65 and I'm out of shape, but I'll still fight you out there. On the, amen. If you don't like that, if you don't fight me, just swing. Amen. Go ahead. Just hope I don't find a 2x4. Amen. I'm too old to fight you. I'll just shoot you. Be done with it. Amen. Now, for the next 30 minutes, I'm preaching on gluttony. Man, I tell you, I don't know. I knew it was coming. I was on the way down here, just like the Lord said, just let her rip, amen. I just felt like, I said, Lord, if you'll put a crown on him. He said, Reggie, I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to get a fire built. I'm going to get my fire built in my heart. I'm going to get a fire built in my home. I'm going to get a fire built in marriage. I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. I'll tell you what, I'm going to help that preacher preach. Don't you like, I'm telling you what, how many of you preachers would like for somebody to help? How many knows what I mean when I say help the preacher preach? Okay, help the preacher preach. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. I remember old Ron said to tell me one time about, he said I was a lost church member. And he said I got saved. He said, you know, doing pretty good. But he said, I got rid of a lot of stuff. Just couldn't get rid of the cigarettes. And he said, it seemed like every Sunday I'd go to church. He said, that preacher would get to preach. He said, all of a sudden he stopped preaching. Whatever Sunday he preached on, lay his hand across the boat and say, you low down suckers out there smoking them cigarettes. And he said, up to that point, I'd been shouting and amen, amen. And he said, I'd slink down my seat. He said, my wife would take her up. Come on, big boy, shout now. Shout now. And he said, I could shout. He said, he'd preach on them short dresses on women and men doing this and men doing that. And I'd just jump up, amen, preaching, preacher. But he said, he'd get on them cigarettes and he said, ugh. And he said, I went home to church one Sunday and I said, I'll tell you what, it just seemed like every Sunday. Did you know it sounded funny? Something that you're besetting sin, the preacher preaches on it real frequently. You ever notice that? After you got victory over it, he never preaches on it again. And he said, that's what he did. He said, I went home that afternoon, walked out behind my house. I said, God, I've tried to quit. I can't quit. It's hurting my testimony. And he said, Lord, would you take cigarettes? And he said, God did. And he said, God just took that out of me. And he said, man, he said, I went to church. And I thought, I can't wait till he preaches on cigarettes again. He said, I said, Sunday, after Sunday, after Sunday. And he never mentioned cigarettes. I'm like, he said, finally, one Sunday, he said, he reared back and said, ah, you low-down suckers and sucking them cigarettes, and you don't smoke them, you suck them, you're a sucker. He said, I jumped up and said, glory, hallelujah, I don't suck them no more, amen. He said this, he said, it's like Billy Sunday said, if you get your cat turned right, you'll purr, but when your cat's turned wrong to the preacher, you'll growl. Amen. You get yourself right with God. Nobody in this world that's preaching this book can preach you out of church. You get right with God, nobody will preach too hard for you. But they, you say, Richard, how do you deal with biting viper? Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's been pretty easy preaching up to now. You got your fire built, man. You're on fire for God. Church on fire, and the viper's coming. What do you do with him? Ah! Freak out. No, I ain't gonna do no good. Said scare everybody. Amen. Some of you was asleep. That's why I did this. You gonna fret? A viper bit me. A viper bit me. A viper's got me. You gonna fret, freak out, freeze up? You know what Paul did? You know what your Bible said. He shook him back into the fire. It wasn't mean. What's God trying to tell us here? This is what I say is hard preaching because I hate to tell you I've been viper bit. Brother Wayne, wish I'd done better. If I ain't careful, brother, And Viper latches on. I run around. Look, Viper bit me. Look. 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 Viper bit me. Oh, it's awful. It's terrible. Look at that Viper bit. Ain't what God says do with it. God says shake that thing back into the fire. Came out of the heat that the fire caused. Didn't come out of the fire. Came out of the heat that the fire caused. God said, you shake him back in the fire. Now, here we go. A viper needs to be thrown right back in the fire of the Holy Ghost of God, the fire of the truth of God. And God will take care of the viper in his consuming fire. Now, you say, Reggie, how do you handle that thing? Well, if you're not careful, here's the deal. Just the raw deal of this thing. I think there's an analogy here that this is why God says and commands us to be filled with the Spirit of God. That viper did not poison that man. Now, let me tell you what I've had to fight with. I don't know about the rest of you. This is what I fight. And my wife will tell you, am I happy? Yes, I'm happy. But let me just tell you the truth about it is I have to fight bitterness constantly. Every day of my life, I have to fight bitterness. Every day of my life, I have to get up and have to shake that beast off in the fire. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you tonight before we leave this church house. You say, Reggie, with all my heart, I want to be on fire for God. I want to be a fire builder. I may not be nobody, but I can go out and get some sticks and I can help our church and I can be what I can be for God and I want to be a fire builder. I'm promising the viper is going to come and he's going to latch on to you. And then what you do at that point is what's the tough part. And I want to tell you what you've got to do. You have to forgive them. You have to. Now, I'm telling you, forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an obedient act. I don't know that I've ever felt like forgiving anybody. If my wife was here, she'd say, your hair is messed up. If my hair messed up, she says, you can do like that. What do you do that for? I don't know. I just felt like it's flying everywhere. I said, I need a haircut. I hate to go. Is anybody here barbering? I don't enjoy, it's hard for me to forgive people. Now I want to give you something tonight. Please listen to me. Shaking that beast off, there's some things you got to shake off. You just got to shake it off. That's what God says to do. Shake it back into fire. Commit it unto him that judges righteously. We're at camp meeting. Boy, how we need camp meetings. But it's at camp meetings. Did you know it's going to be you people who are going to be the fire builders wherever you go back out. And if you're going to get in the fire building business, you're going to get bit by some vipers. And how you handle that bite is going to be the critical part of it. You know what the Bible says there? Watch this. They were attacked by the viper, and he shook it back in there. But then they're analyzed by the people that's watching. And those people still go, he just got bit by a viper. You know what your Bible says? They said he would die or fall down.
Amen.
Quit or stumble. And if you let bitterness, and I let bitterness into my life, and I don't forgive people, and I don't love them, pray for them, do good to them, like Jesus said, that's the anti-venom. He means what he says. There's an anti-venom for Satan's bites. And that's to pray for them, love them, do good unto them, forgive them. Now, I want to tell you about forgiveness. I don't go for this stuff. Oh, if you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. I think that's a lie.
Yeah, amen.
Now, I'm glad for you if you've had the grace to you just don't ever remember it anymore. I'm not sure I believe you. If you're telling the truth, it's okay. I'm glad for you. But I tell you what you can do. God, the Holy Ghost, can make it where you don't hold it against them anymore. You don't remember that against them anymore. But let me tell you something else about forgiveness. It does not mean that next Sunday you're going to have Mo for dinner. Does it? Now, I'm going to give you a balance about forgiveness that's not preached in our pulpits. It's in Luke. Peter said, if my brother offend me 7 times a day, Jesus said, forgive him, right? But what else did he say? If he repent. Did you know that things are never going to be like they ought to be or you'd like for them to be until the offender repents? That's built into God's judicial system. You may be saved here tonight and you sin against God as a Christian. Did you know that your fellowship is not going to be what it ought to be till you repent? Till you confess, whoso confesseth and forsaketh. Did you know that God is a holy God? And you go out here and do something you shouldn't have done, okay? And you're not going to walk into church and just feel all warm and rosy. The Holy Ghost is not going to let you. Fellowship has been affected. And until you get it right with God, that fellowship is not going to be what it should be. And you know I'm telling you the truth.
That's right.
So what does it take? So you get it right with God. You know, you say, how do you do that? I think it's just really good to get on your knees. And say, God, I've sinned against you. And Lord, I was looking at that woman and had thoughts in my head I shouldn't have. It's wicked and nasty. And I'm telling you like it is. Lord, I lied on my tax return. I told him I had 47 cows and I've really got 60. Just, what does it say? Confess it. You don't, if I'm selling pot and I get caught, and I'm not, okay, and I go before the judge and he says, you know what, Rich? This is your first time here. If you'll confess to it, I'll let you go. I'm going to forgive you. So, are you willing to confess it? Well, I know I did something that wasn't right. What was it? Well, and I'll wallow around and never say it. It's never a confession. Because they take him on to jail cell. No fellowship. Okay? Now, I'm telling you, when you shake that thing off, you don't shake that off. That venom, remember the voyage, and then the viper, and now the venom. If that venom, if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost living within you, that venom is going to poison your whole system. And you're going to become a bitter, hard, calloused, cranky, not enjoyable person to be around with no testimony for Jesus Christ. And so for camp meeting tonight, what my real deal I wanted to preach about was, you know what, let's do. I've got people who have hurt me badly. And I struggle forgiving. And you know what? I about decided there ain't going to be very many of them ever come and say, oh, Reggie, we know what we said and did was wrong. Would you please forgive us? They don't. People don't do that much. Okay? So what have I got a choice? Oh, you hear about Reg Kelly? He got viper bit. He quit. He fell down dead. Let that venom get to his brain. Then it went to his heart. Or, I just get all... It uses the word swollen. You hear about Reg Kelly? He's just a mad old preacher. All swollen up, mad at everybody. Just an old snapping turtle. That's what happens to us. Can I tell you something? If you can serve God without, if you can serve God and build a fire, put wood on the fire of God's work and not get by for a bit, tell me please how to do it. So the question is not whether you're going to get by for a bit. The question is how you going to do when the viper bites you. Number one, be sure that you're filled with the Holy Ghost when you start putting wood on the fire. Oh. I'm on page 8 of page 80 of 83 pages. But here's the beautiful part. You know what's happened? Those guys over there, those old pagans, old barbarians, said, good little living, you see that viper bite that guy? He's going to be dead in 2 or 3 seconds. Watch him. And the Bible indicates it was, they watched him a long time. He might have made it off that ship, but there's something. God got him anyway. That's what they're going to say about you. How we know all along he wasn't no good. They wasn't no good. Look at the viper bottom. But then the longer they wasn't, and you know this truth. Can I tell you what to do when you get bit by vipers and everything in the world goes wrong? Just keep living for God.
Amen.
Just get in your car next week and go to church anyway.
Amen.
It's real deep theology. Get in your car and go to church. Take your King James Bible, open it up, and read and read and read.
Amen.
Young lady this week, about 22 years old, she's had a bad, tough time. I'm just tell you how it is. She's not attractive. Ain't a boy in the country looking at her. Built as odd as you ever seen. Not pretty, and she knows it. And she's frustrated. Why did God make me like He made me? Why is it some girls are pretty? Nobody even wants to look at me. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I told her this week, I mean, she was heading down. I said, I'm going to tell you, you get away real quick. And I said, you read 10 chapters of Psalms. And don't you quit reading. You got to get a hold of God. Satan's filling your heart and your mind full of lies. God made you, and He did. He said, I'm fearfully wonderfully made, and I don't know why God made you like He made you, but He made you. And He had a purpose in making you like Him, and you need to find that. But see, Satan was biting her. Make her bitter toward God, see? Well, I'm telling you, you got to watch this thing. So the deal is, how are you going to react? But they analyze it, and here's what I'm telling you. If you will just keep living for God, just keep putting wood on the fire, pretty soon they're going to turn around and say, you know what? That person has been through the fiery trial. There's something real to that person.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know who the dear brother was who stood and talked about cancer with his wife and so forth. But you know what? People are watching. They're going to watch. And I so appreciated that. Because they're watching how you're responding to death and loss of loved ones and all kinds of things. And they're going to see if you get bitter at God. And that's when those people were impressed with their faith, is when they saw, hey, he didn't fall down dead. He didn't give up and quit. And there's something supernatural about that person's life. The things that tore other people up and ruined other people did not ruin this man. That's not normal. He has a supernatural life within him. Boy, yeah, it's hard to be honest when you're preaching. Preachers lie all the time. You know that? They exaggerate and they all that. When I said, well, to go 5 acres of Montana, you have no earthly idea how I have never in my life, in 37 years of preaching, experienced the hatred and the venom that I'm experiencing right now, ever. I'm just so tired of it. I'm sick of it. Maybe that's why I come down here. Nobody knows me, and I can act. Everybody loves me. Y'all love me, right? You haven't known me long enough to hate me yet. Anyway, you'll be attacked by Satan. You'll be analyzed by the world. You'll be accused by the wicked. They said he's a murderer. But there's a reward for building the fire. People's minds will be changed. You know what? That's the one thing I'm wanting to do. I don't know whether I've got 10 minutes to live or 15 years. But I want to finish well.
Amen.
I want to be faithful. And if I just be faithful, that's what people's going to... That's what Satan... And by the way, I want to tell all of you this. The older you get and the farther you've went for Christ, the greater trophy you are. I mean, most people aren't after little spike bucks. They just got saved. They're after the 10 point. Right? And Satan... wants you that have been married for 40 years. He wants to blow your marriage out of the water. And you went to church and you raised your kids in church and all that 40 years now, and he wants to blow your marriage out of the water. So about 500 people can say, oh, look at those Christians. They went to church for 40 years. Now look at them. I don't need that. When your kids go off the deep end, they want you to get so frustrated at God that you quit and blow out. They want you to quit. But if you just humbly and honestly just say, Lord, I wasn't anything when you found me. And I'm just going to keep serving you. That's what people will... It takes a while. Remember, they looked a long time. Camp meeting. Fire builders. Viper bitten. What are we going to do with it? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I think the Lord's telling me, Reggie, you're done. I want to tell you something tonight with all my heart. I want to thank you for letting me be here. I want to thank you for being such a wonderful, wonderful, hungry people of God. Nobody's thrown a rock at me yet. Nobody's thrown a songbook at me. I tell you what, I had a woman one time. She jumped up in church, took a song. We had concrete floor, no church there. She took a songbook and threw that thing soft as hard as you could on the pavement. It popped like shotgun went off. I mean, like a double barrel shotgun. Everybody at church jumped about through that, and she started cussing like any sailor you've ever heard. I've seen all kinds of things. Just not long ago, I preached on the Second Amendment. I preached on the Second Amendment. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you? If you're a liberal, you need to get saved here tonight, okay? But I announced on Facebook that I was preaching on the Second Amendment. Well, this guy, I mean, you know, and there's a pretty good crowd here most times. I don't know, 250, 300 people, you know. And I just got started in my message. I mean, about 5 minutes, and this guy jumped up. And I mean, he tore in on me. And don't try that at our church. I'm going to tell you right now, you mess around at our church and we think you're going to hurt somebody, you look like Swiss cheese. There'll be so many holes in your body. There are men everywhere with pistols. And they ain't plinkets. They'll put a hole in you like that. Because they mean to put you down per shot. Okay? Just the way it is. Because we're living in that time. I preach on a lot of that stuff. I've been having my life threatened. Queers hate my guts. They threatened to kill me and everything. This guy got up. And I mean, he tore in. He tried to take the service over. And I kept telling him, I said, sir, you need to sit down. You're not taking this service over. You sit down and listen or you leave. He wouldn't do it. I said, men, take him out. About 12 men circled around him, took him by the arms, graciously took him right outside the church. I said, you always come back, straighten up. You're going to do that, you ain't going to ruin our church services. I mean, I've seen all kinds of junk, you know. But the worst ones, Brother Craig, are the ones who sit back and go... Nobody can see me acting like this. I want to tell you a little something, you little coward. If you're doing that, now, if he's preaching that you go to heaven by how good you live, shake your head no. Okay? If he's preaching out of an NIV, go. I mean, if he's preaching heresy, I understand. But if he's just there preaching a book, trying to help you all grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you're ticked off at him somehow, and you go, you know what, and you're hiding back there, you little coward. Why don't you stand up and tell everybody at church, I don't like him anymore. Let's just be a man about it. Because if you don't, you're a stinking coward. And I'll tell you to your face. I don't like that stuff. I'd rather have that guy jumped up and said, I mean, he was a liberal coming in church. He thinks everybody ought to get their guns to burn in, all that kind of junk, you know. But I want to tell you, those kind of guys really won't hurt you. They'll strengthen you. The guy that hurts you is that viper that comes out of the heat. And I'll tell you something. Go back to your churches. Boy, I think this train went off the tracks right here, okay? You ever listen to a preacher preaching and everybody gets plain off the runway? It's plain went around all over the building and everybody get up. It's kind of the way I feel tonight. Boy, there it went. I think that's God definitely saying, you are done. Okay. I could have said to start with, be a fire builder. Watch out for vipers. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't give up. And you could have been done in 5 minutes. You would have bored all this other stuff. I tried my best tonight to make some of you mad, but I didn't really notice anybody getting mad. Now, if I did, I mean, I just was watching faces. I didn't see anybody really get some not too swift about it, you know. But some, I understand that, you know. But I love you. Set up tent meeting. Go back, build fire builders. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to build a fire, you're going to get what? You're going to get bit. Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that I've had here tonight to preach. I thank you for these folks that concern enough about the work of God, they've come out to camp meeting. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless them. God, you said judgment has to begin at the house of God. Lord, I pray tonight that there'll be a renewed commitment to build a fire builder wherever they go to church at. Lord, they'll just come build fire so folks that's swimming in from shore can see it. Folks that's crawling up off through the sand, the rocks, and the debris on the shore can see a fire, feel the heat, and have hope. God, we're surrounded by people that are shipwrecked, crawling up on the shores, hurt and wounded and weary, wondering what's ahead of them. And God, our churches and our families need to be a fire of God to welcome them, to warm them, to comfort them, to strengthen them, Lord. And God, I pray that you just take this little simple message and maybe, Lord, just start a fire in somebody's soul. Lord, maybe somebody's wood's been wet, or maybe they've been bit by a viper, Lord, and it's caused them to not want to gather any more wood and put no more fire. I don't know, Lord. I know what I go through, and I know how you've helped me, Lord, in these things. And I pray that you'd help these here tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And, you know, I just know this. I don't want you to think I'm not preaching down on nobody. I'm telling you, I'm not. The only Bible verse I have trouble with in the Bible is where Paul said he's chief of sinners, because I feel like I am. So I'm not trying to be nothing here tonight. But I just want to tell you this much. I know what it is to seem like the ship's wrecked and you wonder if you're going to make it to shore. And when you get there, you don't know what's ahead of you. I know what it is to have a burning desire in my heart to build a fire for God that folks could get help. And then right when you're busy doing that which God called you to do, you get bit. And I know what it is to just want to give up and quit or just settle back into a mundane life. But I tell you, that won't get the job done, folks. Our churches need to see a fire again. Let it begin with you tonight. And maybe tonight there's been something happen or some situation in your life, and maybe you didn't mean for it to be, but you've just grown cold and you're wet and you're weary. Maybe you're wounded. And you just need to come and say, "Dear God, would you give me strength to go get another load of wood next Sunday, this week as I meet people, and be a fire builder and put some wood on the fire so folks can see the gospel of Christ?" Tonight, while we stand, if you'd just like to come and have a visit with the Lord tonight, you just come on. Brother Mike, I'm going to turn the service over to you.